Here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Just swinging in the breeze.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it bad. For the strolling, go back to DLNGS.org. And IC channel is a Linux.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1019 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel. We have Joe.
We have Joe.
I don't know what happened this time, but we'll hear about it when he comes busting in again in a few minutes. I don't know how far I went in talking about this last week, and I don't know if I touched on this by Wednesday or if it was the day after, kind of ran into a problem with this whole trying to figure out how to get us over to GitHub Actions and building an image for our testing container that is WordPress VIP enabled. With our customizations, and because that would migrate us out of Circle CI where we have working. But what further compounded all of this is that there's two initiatives kind of going on. The first one is that I initially started with was trying to find a better and simpler deployment process. And that was looking at going down the route of GitHub Actions. And so what that all entails would be to figure out a way to do all our testing on the GitHub Actions side. And the biggest issue is the integration testing, which requires that the application is actually running so that Cypress can connect to it. So figuring out that aspect was one, and then the rest of the testing process. And then the next thing would be, how do we handle deploying the code, kind of hopefully like the way that we want to do it, as opposed to the way it's implemented now, which means how are we going to consolidate our three different branches into one main branch? And solving kind of that problem with the most minimal amount of downtime. And anyway, that was further impacted by the other initiative, which is that VIP is trying to move everybody over to 8.1, PHP 8.1. And that requires, before we obviously switch over, we need to test that. And did see a couple of hiccups. But the biggest problem is that I knew this day was coming, but we were kind of in a safe zone for a bit, so to speak, with our image that we're using, because it was the last version of the image that Circle CI provided based off of PHP that used distributions PHP as opposed to compiling it itself, which means that the newer image has compiled PHP and no web server, and that poses a problem for the integration testing. And the only way to get the integration for the web server to work is that you essentially have to recompile the PHP services or module libraries with that enabled, and that creates the Apache module that you use to plug in there. Now, I should have double-checked this, because I should have double-checked this, but I'm almost positive the current image that we're using, the 8.0, has Apache already in it, or it could have been that there was released a distribution, or no, wait, I think it did use the distribution modules, because or for some reason I was able to install the mod PHP the Apache module for PHP, and it worked. But I tried that on 8.1, and where it's looking for PHP and where it was built and all those libraries and everything is in a different location than where it's installed, because it was built from source. So that kind of then shifted this whole priority, the urgencies of trying to get us on to 8.1 and trying to figure out a better deployment process, that it's almost like we got to do it all. All this has to be combined, because the only way that we're going to be able to get on to 8.1 is if we get a working test container that we can slide in there. And I tried for 2 days or a day and a half, 2 days, to get the Circle CI image to do what we wanted to do. And then I was like, well, I could switch to another image and try and handle it that way. And I don't know how well that's going to integrate with Circle CI. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But ultimately, I decided that's the route I'm going to take, and then working with it in GitHub Actions. So I had gone from using a PHP image that I installed Apache on, to PHP Apache that I put WordPress on, and went from there. But then I realized, why don't I just go straight for the WordPress image? Because WordPress images are made available. I believe they already had Apache on there. So that took care of having to download WordPress and do all these things. Now, what I ended up happening was, is I got a working container using the WordPress-provided Docker Hub, image on Docker Hub. So it is an official image, and we're only using it for just testing purposes here. So that looked to be very promising. It reduced what I needed to do in regards to building the image fairly significantly, because WordPress was already on there, which made it easier. But what I had to do is I started from that image, and I added some stuff in there to make it easier for us to do what we need to do. Instead of having to do that work in the actions, I built it right into the container. And essentially, it was making sure that Composer is installed, and all the dependencies that we needed to run Cypress and other things that were available. I needed to put our WP config file in there, or certain ones in there, two different ones that I have eventually had to put in there. One was just an empty WP config, but it had the database connection information. And then the other one was the WP config, but it had, instead of the values that we have for like our secrets in there, hard-coded, it's just pulling them from the environment. And then I took those values and, for testing purposes locally, put those into a text file where it was just the variable name and its value, and use that to set. You can use that in Docker. You could provide an ENV list or a file and pass that right in there. And then all those values are available. So there was that. So what I did was I took the MariaDB image from Docker Hub. That's, again, another official image. And I got a MariaDB container running. And for local testing, I would build the container, put all the stuff in there. And I was able to get it up and running. So there were a couple of steps that I had to handle for how this would continuous integration environment, in that I had to run the container that I built, the WordPress container, and initialize, like create the database in there. And I had a WP command line, WPCLI and VIPCLI installed. So you could do that with a WP create or DB create, and that will read your WP config for the connection information and create the database. And that worked fine because I had the database was, I started up the MariaDB container with the information necessary to get just a regular database running. And I had that on a network that I created called Local MariaDB. And then I just told it to use local MariaDB for connection in the WP config file. And that information was passed into the container when execution time, and ran that WP create DB create. And if you heard before, I said I had two WP config files, one that was pretty much empty except for the database connections, and the other one was the necessary configurations we needed to run our app. So I had both of those in the container under different names, so that, or I'm sorry, the main one under WP config with the variables. But what I had done to create the database, because for some reason when you run the WP create DB command with all that information in there, it just stops it from creating. It says you can't run this on this environment. So I found that with just the connection information, it let me go through there. I think it's some kind of VIP protection crap that they put in there. And that I got to create in the database. So when I did that, when I executed the container, I had to copy the WP config without any of those values over top of the WP config and then execute that. Then it exits out of the container. And then I run the next container, run it again, but this time I'm creating the WordPress structure in the database, and then that works fine, and it exits out of the container. And then the final thing that it does is it runs our Cron script to pull down information that it needs in the database for actual proper functioning. So it went, I got all that figured out locally, manually set that up, and then I slapped it all together into a GitHub action script and a workflow. And by the end of the day today, I was pretty satisfied that I was able to get it all up and functioning and working and actually running the Cypress test, the integration test. The good news is it's all running. The bad news is three of the, like, random number of tests keep failing. And I think it all has to do with connectivity and timeout issues. I'm trying to find a better way of running all this together. I feel that maybe I'm bucking up against just the limitations and resources available when I'm running this in a GitHub workflow, which is running on a container, which is then, you know, creating two other containers, database container and the WordPress container, to run this stuff. Not creating, but running them. And then I'm running the Cypress stuff also. So I'm wondering if it's bucking up against that. I'm considering looking at Docker Compose, although I don't know how it's going to help us out, and I need to become more familiar with that tool. So it's something to look into. I don't see an easy way to run these containers the way that I need to run them and then do the Cypress tests. But that's where I'm at. So it's been a lot of Docker fun, a lot of playing around with it. Been very pleased. I did also get another Slackware install in last week on a UEFI system, and it went a lot smoother this time. I didn't screw it up, but this was more of a desktop-based system, and I didn't have a mouse. Well, I didn't want to disconnect the one mouse I have down here to connect it into the other one because it would be a pain in the ass to put it back together. So it's running great. I'm thinking about moving my database server onto that from the other machine. But we'll see if I get off my lazy ass to do that. That install was the most difficult part about the install on a UEFI system on Slackware is that you have to partition it in a specific way. You have to create that UEFI partition and make sure it's the proper size. Because is it 500 megabytes in size is what it needs to be? 518 or is it or something like that? And it has to be a specific file system type, and you use just a GF disk or something like that, or I forget what it was.
GUID format partitioning instead of FAT32, MBR. That's the other one.
So you have to do that. You have to create a boot partition and you create a root partition. And then any other partitions you want, you got to make sure you get all that stuff down properly. And then the rest of the install is fairly simple. It's not going to install Lilo because it recognizes that it needs to install eLilo and handles it. So the next thing that I'll probably do on this machine is I do need to update it, which means probably getting the latest kernel that Slackware provides and going through that treat again. But now that I have a lot more information, it should be easy. And everybody will be happy again. Right, Joel?
Sure. Sure.
Hey,
I don't know what was going on with my Logitech headset. Joe's just like perpetually happy.
It's the drugs.
Yeah.
So is it that new system you got going on there that you're running Ubuntu, the latest?
Yeah,
Ubuntu,
I'm on
2310.
Last week, what was happening is if you touch the touchscreen in a certain spot, it would crash the desktop. it's a known bug, I think. It'll hopefully be fixed by release time. But
with GNOME 45.
I think. I don't remember. I actually threw on his Ubuntu after the show last week and tested it, and it worked fine. I was able to get everything working with the headset, but I think what it might be is that headset's fairly old and or the battery might be toast. I'm going to do some testing with it because I want to take it with me when I go to Virginia on Sunday and use it maybe next Wednesday. It just depends on how things are schedule-wise. I just looked at the calendar today, and I think there's at least three team dinners. Well, technically, the third one is like a happy hour thing, which I'm not sure if I'm going to go to or not. But anyway, I'm probably going to take my Surface Pro 6 with me as my personal machine, along with my MacBook and my iPad Pro. But that's Logitech headset might be not long for this world. I might see if I can just get a straight up USB headset over the weekend, maybe, because I'd rather take a headset. I have a Bluetooth one that I use with my Mac for Zoom sessions. I probably could use that. Although
what's your
it
Logitech
is,
headset use?
It's a wireless dongle. It can do Bluetooth as well. But the Bluetooth on it is horrid. I mean, it is really bad. Every time I've ever tried it, it's like, nope, this isn't going to work. the audio quality was kind of crappy. Right now I'm using a Fifine USB microphone, and then I got the headphones plugged into the headphone jack because, you know, my old laptop still has a headphone jack. Actually, both my laptops have headphone jacks, but all of them do, I think. I think my Surface even has one, too. The only thing I think doesn't is, like, my iPad or my phones. So, but it seems to be working. See, it wasn't the problem with the microphone. I could always get that to work and mumble, but I couldn't hear it through the headset. So I guess I probably couldn't. Well, it wouldn't look jank. You know, I've been janky. I probably could have plugged some headphones into this and gone with the same old I've been using. But this is the one I've been using to record pretty much everything else. So, but it's not exactly portable. The one I bought, when I bought this one, it came with a little tripod, so I guess I could take that with me, but I got to take the little mic desk arm. This also has a shock mount built into this microphone for, it was like $25 maybe. It's a, the only kind of thing that's funky about it is it does have RGB in it, but it's not programmable. It just goes on its own pattern. So, so the microphone lights up, but it does work well. I might get another one of those and just clamp it to the one of the stands I got next to my recliner, but that's okay. I'm getting through it. But most of what I've been doing with the 2310 has been working. Other than that, I blame the headset mostly, because that headset is quite old, so it may be past its time. But considering I don't necessarily need Bluetooth or wireless for the show, like I said, I might just get a cheaper USB headset with a microphone and all that stuff in it. Oh my God, it's flying, Rich.
Hey, what's up, Rich? Coming in with an echo, right?
Or not at all.
Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. My experience with Bluetooth is always spotty. When it works great, yep. And then too often, way too much time fiddling around with it.
If you buy, like I have a, you know, I use Bluetooth headphones all the time, because I'm doing majority listening with those than talking. But whenever somebody calls me on it, like somebody gives me a call and I need to talk to them, sometimes the mic on that works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't know why. And it's not just that particular set of Bluetooth headphones. The ones I'm actually using the most are the ones, my Iowa that Joe Bourne was selling on eBay for $25 a set. I bought two of them. I may grab another one because I do like them. And if he still has some left on eBay, I might buy another one because they're. They're pretty nice. They last a while. The little battery case charges them up fairly quickly, and it works pretty good with my Pixel 6 Pro. So, but
without requiring a firmware update, right?
Yeah. True.
Yeah, I don't know. The headphones I have. It all depends on the device it's being paired with. If the device is not strong enough to put out a decent signal, like sometimes just between my belt side and where it's on the headphones, if there's an interrupt, you know, anything that interrupts in there, you lose the signal. But now.
Thanks, Rich.
Yeah, sorry, it's probably still gonna echo. Well, hold on a second. I'm messing with this.
But. Anyway, when it shit, what was I saying? Oh yeah, but my Pixel doesn't have the same problem. It's a lot more robust signal coming out of that thing than the MP3 player.
Okay, I'm back.
With the static.
I don't hear it.
You guys hear me?
That's good.
Yeah, we hear you. You hear us?
And maybe not.
Well, we do hear you. It doesn't sound like you can hear us.
Suddenly everybody else's volume went way down.
Did my volume go down too, Joe?
That is weird.
Yeah, I mean, like, Rich was loud when he was talking, but you guys' volume just dropped off. I can still hear you, just not well.
Maybe you guys hear me now?
Yes.
What the hell is your connection doing that's killing everybody?
What's that blue thing next to his name?
He's not muted.
Priority speaker. He's listed as a priority speaker, which is why his volume is higher.
He must be on
ours.
His phone.
I'm on my phone.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay, I took off the priority speaker.
Yeah, there we go. Somebody did that. How did that even get on there?
No idea.
Nobody knows.
Bizarre.
Magic.
What's up to you, Rich? About 5'10"?
So, yeah, not 510 pounds, that is. I just had really good success today playing with Proxmox on the Radaxa, or however you say, Raxa, Rock 5B. So I've got a bunch of them with 16 gigs of RAM. And I originally got them because I wanted to do, like, ESXi on them, but you need UEFI to boot ESXi, and that's not fully implemented yet on that board. But I'll do a video and I'll do some blog post or something about it when I get it all documented how I did it. But I've got Proxmox running on the Raxa Rock 5B with 16 gigs of RAM. I've got a cluster set up. I got VMs running. I've got the Proxmox containers running, the ARM version of one. So it's very functional. I'm shocked to all get out, and this is actually my first use of Proxmox.
What are the devices that you're clustering together?
So Raxa Rock 5B. It came out like November of last year. And so what I've been doing is I've just, for the most part, been running Docker containers on them. And they're working great. I'm loving them. Look, great board. What's his face? Why can't I think of the guy's name? Jeff Geerling, like, totally trashed him. He's like, not a real competitor for the Raspberry Pi. I'm like, well, first off, you can't get Raspberry Pi, so whether it is or isn't doesn't matter. But you have a single board computer with 16 gigs of RAM, two HDMI ports, two USB 3 ports. It's USB-C powered. So you can actually, I can unplug my work laptop with one USB-C, plug it in, have keyboard, mouse, and two monitors and power, and be using it like a laptop, desktop, whatever. So and you get the ability to throw an SSD on the back, so an NVMe.
What's the architecture? Yeah.
It's ARM. It's ARM 64. It's the ROC chip. So I forget, it's the RK338 something. I'd have to look it up.
I'm starting to think about looking at some of
And what was it called again?
So it's hardwired. You have 2.5 gigahertz gigabit, 2.5 gigabit Ethernet. So I did get a 2.5 gig 8-port switch because I want them things to be able to talk to each other. So I'm running. Let's see, what else?
What was the board again?
Rock 5B.
Rock Five. So there's a Rock 5A also, and I got several of the Rock 5As, and I was going to do some experimentation with them. But the Rock 5B is working real good. I'm pretty excited. It's stable. You don't have, you know, just all cards on the table. It's not a Raspberry Pi. You know, you don't have the support and the kind of script kiddiness of a Raspberry Pi. Like, pretty much anything you want to do with a Raspberry Pi, somebody's been there, done that. There's a guide for how to do it. You don't have to figure anything out. If you've always worked in the edge of the Raspberry Pi where people don't do that crap normally, like I do, then it's not a big deal for you. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in 1980 having a Chevy 350 in your car. It's like, yeah, everybody's got a Chevy 350. You throw a cam headers and, you know, a Holley four barrel on it and you're good to go. It was a simple recipe. And that's what the Raspberry Pi is. Whereas the Rock 5B is a little, I don't want to make it like it's exclusive. It's a little bit more of a cultured taste. I don't want to say that. But it's like, hey, I don't mind getting
it's
down and dirty with the crap.
It's a 351M instead of a 351 Windsor.
Wow, you're digging deep on that one.
Well, you wanted to make engine comparisons, and I know engines from the time frame, so...
Yep. Yeah, so I dig a single board computer. For me, my constant, my paradigm, and everybody can have a different paradigm, my paradigm that drove me to single board computing like the Raspberry Pi was I wanted something that was small, that was energy efficient, that wasn't loud, and didn't make a lot of heat. And just because I keep all of this stuff in my office and everything that generates heat makes me less comfortable. And I certainly don't like fan noise either. So I really wanted to stay away from using old PCs that people gave me to be a Docker host or, you know, an ESXi host or anything like that. I wanted to steer clear of that because a PC just runs a whole lot of power and a whole lot of heat and a whole lot of noise. And if I had as many PCs as I do single board computers kicking around, it would
be
pretty bad. Yeah, hot and loud.
And so, unless you bought something like one of the Alder Lake, like NUC-like machines, which unfortunately, Intel killed the NUC, others have kind of taken away from that though.
And because I haven't been on in a while, I probably people are you have new listeners and stuff like that. I have a vCenter running, a VMware Lab, and I have an Intel NUC cluster. And I have an ARM, you know, Raspberry Pi cluster. But the bad part is the Pis, you know, the max RAM you can get is 8 gig. I'm sure they're going to do that. They're going to up it in the future. But the problem with Raspberry Pi, their original goal was to have a $25 computer that everybody could do something with.
Right.
And they killed Raspberry Pi 1, 2, 3.
Well, until the shortage.
And now
priced
it's
higher.
Titanium, and it's $100 for a Raspberry Pi 4, which is kind of nutso. I mean, at one of the Ohio Linux Fests, I had a bunch of Pi Zeros, and I was just giving them to people.
Right.
You know, I bought them. I would go to Micro Center when I was consulting, and... You know, I'd go there every day and I'd pick up one free one while I was on a consulting gig. So I had a bunch of $1 computers I handed out to people. You know, that's it's unfortunate.
And the next iteration isn't going to be as cheap, I think, when they bring out the Raspberry Pi 5 or whatever they're going to call
it. For sure.
I think it's going to cost much more. But like examples, there's others that are springing in though to kind of fill the gap a little bit, but they're still kind of pricey. Like for example, the Libre computers.
Yeah, it's a shame. Don't get me wrong. I can spend money and it doesn't matter to me. And I'm not talking about me, although I will. I want a $25 computer for the everyman. And that's, it's a shame that, you know, they're a victim of their own success that they can. And I'm not saying it's really poachers that are buying these things and selling them for stupid money. But I'm at the point now where I could set up my ROC5Bs running Proxmox, run VMs and containers, and get rid of all of my Raspberry Pis. When you think about it, you have Raspberry Pis with what? A gig of RAM, 4 gigs of RAM, 8 gigs of RAM. Mm-hmm. Now I've got these boards with 16 gigs of RAM. How many can I throw in a cluster? And basically have a cluster that does every effing thing that all of these, you know, this 10 or however many Pis I have running are doing things. So I'm very excited about that.
Yep. Now, I just looked on Amazon. They do have Pi 4s in stock, and you can get them overnight. The 4 gig is $67, and the 8 gig is $89. So maybe the prices are starting to come down, too, because they were
much higher. I think I was paying like $40 for an 8 gig when I got mine.
I
could be completely wrong. I really don't know.
Well, see, when I got my 4 gig, which I still have,
but,
of course.
That was
50.
It would be great. You know, just like, hey, a Toyota MR2 Turbo, if they built it again, would be great. Porsche 914-6 would be great if they built it again. You know, an everyman's car, not too sophisticated, but it does some really good things and doesn't break the bank. And that's kind of my beef with Raspberry Pi. Now, which way is Raspberry Pi going to go? I'm assuming they're going to go to like 16 gigs of RAM. It's going to be, you know, $100, $200, whatever. It's going to be pushing that upper price limit. I would love to see them do a 4 gig of RAM Raspberry Pi for, you know, $30, $35. You know, they're probably never going to be able to approach the $20, $25 range again.
All right.
But, and actually, I got both the Raxa A, 5As and 5Bs by, like, they had a $5, $50 off coupon, if I recall correctly. So I bought like 5 of the ROC5Bs, the $5 discounts, but, you know, pre-sale. And I did the same thing with the ROC5As. So I got them a metric butt ton cheaper. You know, basically I saved, you know, $250 each time by throwing down, what, $25.
Right. And, so, and since you've been on last, for my digital ham radio stuff, I broke down and I found this really cool little thing called the UVAIJ, I think it is, or UVA, UV1, I don't know. It comes from China. it runs a ROC, you know, what doesn't? But it runs a ROC chip in it, and it has batteries, and preloaded with OSTAR, which is a modified version of OpenWRT, running all the different amateur radio digital voice. So I can do D-Star, I can do DMR, I can do System Fusion, I can do P25 if I would finally get a radio for it. But I finally just got the dang thing stable so that I can literally pick it up, take it into my car with the Wi-Fi in the car, which I do pay for now, and use that as my mobile way to get hold of the world. System Fusion, I usually frequent the Ohio Link channel, which is basically an Ohio-wide channel linking various repeaters across the state. There's also one called America Link. System Fusion has a little bit less of the internet chat room-y kind of thing like D-Star has. You still can do that, of course, but Most people are using it as a way to digitally link repeaters across the country and across the world. So, but it's really handy. System Fusion. I got a System Fusion radio for right around 150. That's probably the radio I'm actually going to take with me. I'm heading to Reston, Virginia on Sunday.
Oh, cool. Now, has anybody gotten a talk pod?
I haven't, mostly because the talk pods are GMRS, and I don't have a GMRS license. I think they're either GMRS or FRS.
What do you have to do to get a license?
That one's just like pay, like, I think, what, $15 maybe, and that's it. There's no test. General mobile
I have to
radio
apologize.
Service.
My connection dropped. I'm like sitting in my car in parking lot.
Well, then you miss me saying I haven't tried one yet, mostly because the talk pods are GMRS and I don't have a GMRS license. But it's a lot. It's not at all like it's actually GMRS is a little bit more like CB back when you had to buy a CB license. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
I don't think you ever had to buy one. It came with like a no postage card in the back,
or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. That was a long time ago.
Nobody ever filled out. But
that's true.
One thing that I liked about the talk pod is you could unlock it and get airband. So I was pretty excited about that from an aviation standpoint.
See, TalkPod, and then there's Radio Oddity. They've actually started bringing out some other handhelds on the amateur radio front. I have my GD77, which is my DMR radio. That one's running Open GD77, so it's got a open source firmware on it, which is pretty dang cool. And I use it. I just don't use it. It's not one I use as much as System Fusion or D-Star, although I haven't used D-Star that much lately either. But I think one of the things I need to do is I need to establish, like set a personal rule to make at least one contact a week. I actually have my HF rig set up for once. It's my QRP one, so it doesn't get out very well. One of these days I need to save up some bucks and buy a 100-watt rig.
And make your neighbors mad?
Maybe. Or if I hit the lottery, I'll go get an RV and like weld a crank up tower on the back of it. But yeah, those talk pods look pretty interesting. They got a nice color LCD on them too. Yeah. It's fun playing with the radios every once in a while. Speaking of that, I need to get Murph showed me his. I want to get one of those Flipper Zeros.
No, I got one.
Which, did you get one? Have you cloned a hotel room key yet?
No.
Flipper Zeros got really popular after quite a while on the market. I mean,
yeah.
All of a sudden, out of nowhere, everybody freaking wanted one.
That's right.
Well, I was messing with it with my garage door code and unlocking my car and stuff like that. But I think there's a hack to do rolling codes with it. So unless you have that hack, you really can't do it more than once.
Well, that's one of the nice things about them getting, popular is a lot more code out there for them.
Yep.
Of course, I don't know if it was a Walgreens or CVS, but a buddy of mine was going in there and terrorizing them.
You do?
I should just get one and then take it into with me to the gym and turn off all the TVs that are running cable news.
Or switch the channel.
Yeah. Yeah, shut off the stupid news channels. And they are most indeed stupid.
So why do they say the Rock 5 is not as good as the Raspberry Pi?
Well, Jeff Geerling, like, is this the Raspberry Pi killer? So he did a video on that. And, you know, I like Jeff. I think he does a lot of great stuff. I don't know him. But I think he kind of got it wrong. And he was talking about how hard it was to get the NVMe SSD to run. And I'm like, it was stupid easy. It's just, you know, a couple of, you know, DD commands, and you got that. You just got to rewrite an SPI, serial peripheral interface, whatever, chip.
I saw a couple of the reviews on Amazon of people saying that it's advertised as 8K, but it won't really even do 4K reliably.
So I gotta apologize. It's like every minute, it seems like it drops for 20 seconds.
Well, is that the Rock 5 you're saying there, Joe?
Yeah. I read some of the reviews on Amazon, and then there were a couple of people with complaints about it, and one of them was that it was advertised as being able to do 8K, but couldn't even sustainably do 4K, but did 1080p all right.
I've got a question, though. Are there actually 8K screens that you can buy?
It's not the point.
I mean, that's the thing, you know. I mean, there probably are, but they are definitely not in my price range.
Well, I guess
that's not something I would care about at all.
Yeah, if you're doing, Rich, you care about 8K support?
I run most of my Linux headless.
Yeah,
so right? I guess. I don't even care that there's any support. Unless I do run maybe a virtual machine or something like that, and I might VNC into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not using these as set-top devices or anything.
Right. Yeah, same with me. I mean, I got a i3B running my Open Media Vault server still. And it's running a MB in a Docker container, so I have no complaints. Well, except for every once in a while, the apps will update, like on my phone and stuff, and I'll go to connect to it, and they're like, "You need to update your server," and I'm like, "Oh shit!" I'm like, "Okay, let me remote in and do that." The only way you can do that is basically to re-download the Docker image and reset everything back up, unfortunately.
But you can keep your config file if you're storing your config files separately.
Yeah, yeah, you can. But with the way that MB has worked, it's not that difficult. The actual configuration of where what files are stays the same. I just have to go in MB and tell MB where that media is, and it goes and finds it and puts everything back in place. It literally doesn't take that long. But what I do need to do. Ooh, he's going for a ride.
Somebody's backing up.
That's right, man. What I do need to do, what I'd like to do is get one of those NUC-like machines and replace that Pi 3B and get like a relatively large M2 SSD on it and do that.
Yeah, no more NUCs.
Well, no, not from Intel. There's plenty that are in the same form factor that they're still being made and still being released. That said, I'm glad I did not get the LG Ally gaming system. Not that there's anything wrong with it.
Was not a difficult transition as one might otherwise imagine.
Turn the dang radio off. Mute him.
Mute him.
Yeah. But Let me see. I was looking at my wish list. Because I just added several. Cam RUI mini PC with 16 gigabyte of DDR4, 1 terabyte M2, Intel Arthur Lake N95, supports 4K Ultra HD HDMI LAN dual band Wi-Fi for home server, $259. That's not horrible for what you get. And that's the same little same size. You can get one about $100 cheaper that has 8 gig of RAM instead. And a smaller SSD. But
I think my only issue with the RockPi at this point, I like the stats on it, but the RockPi 5 is like $162.
Yeah.
If you look hard enough, you can find one of those NIP-like machines for right around that price, too.
Yeah.
And what gig of RAM is that?
RockPi? Oh, no, this is the Orange Pi 5.
Oh, Orange Pi 5?
Yeah, so it's the Raxa Rock 5B and the Rock 5A, and I got a bunch of them at 16 gigs.
At what price?
I don't even remember right now.
Looking at but, one right
basically,
now.
I got a $50 discount, so I probably, whatever
you the that price is, Ameridroid?
$50 off. $243, $189, $177 from AliExpress, $20, $129 from allnetchina.cn.
Yeah, actually, I got the Rock 5As from them.
AllNetChina?
It came from China.
4 gig model. Let's see what their 16. Their 16 gig model from AllNet China is 190.
All right, so I got it for, you know, I guess I got five of them for, you know, like 150 each or so.
Well, Dan, you would have the XU4, right? The Odroid.
Yes, I do.
Oh gosh, love that one.
And it works great.
So, over the years, I've had Plex on my Odroid XU4. Let's see, the Odroid N2. Now they have an N2 Plus. Those are great machines. I then started. Does anybody hear me?
Yeah.
We hear you just fine.
I keep dropping out.
No, we hear you.
But over the years, I had the, let's see, Odroid XU4, that was my Plex server. Then I went to the UpSquared, and the UpSquared seemed to start having problems. Now, that was Intel-based, and I got the pretty high-end version of it, you know, the CPU, and I just said, hey, screw this, and I just threw it on the Rock 5B.
Rich, have you heard of Umbrel yet?
Say that over again?
Umbrel, UMBREL.
I think I may have seen an article on it, but I don't know anything about it.
You'd probably like it. Basically, once you get it installed and you boot up, and then you hit the web interface, you can hit buttons and basically have it do the install of like things like Home Assistant, and various things. I had it running on my Pi 4, but it's pretty interesting. Umbrel.com. You can actually buy a complete inbox system with it all set up for you. All you gotta do is boot it up, set it up.
It sounds familiar. I think I've seen an article on it.
Yeah, it's got in like other things you can install, like you can do own cloud and a few other things on it too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm gonna
click I'll just click
change. Yeah, I'm gonna change gears a little bit. The I got the Comma 3X, and my wife got a newer car, and I got her old car, and I put the Comma 3X in her car, and I don't know, the experimental mode, the experimental mode works in her car, so it stops at stoplight, stops at stop signs. I was pretty impressed with that. I'm hoping the experimental mode will work in my car, or I'll just do a swap around, because I got the 3 in my car and the 3X in her car.
So this is self-drive. Ish. I tell you what, I'm glad I have the collision avoidance stuff in my Traverse, because one time, I forget where it was, maybe it was on 270, all of a sudden everyone's hitting their brakes in front of me, and my car slowed itself down. I didn't even have to hit the brake. It's like, that was nice.
Now, were you coming up on somebody, or how did it do that? Was it by the radar?
Yeah. Well, it has adaptive cruise in it, so it does have that. Mm-hmm. And it will brake if a brake and slow you down. Like on some road trips, I've engaged the cruise and never needed to put my foot back on the pedal unless I was getting off of an off ramp or something.
I mean, that's fantastic.
Slow you down. I mean, you would automatically slow you down if somebody in front of you was going slower. Yeah, I didn't really have to think about it. Now, I know my son's we traded his Trailblazer in and got a Trax, but his new Trax doesn't have the adaptive cruise. The Trailblazer did. The Trailblazer, we just kept having problem after problem with it, and I'm like, that's it, I'm done with it. So we got him a new Trax. And the only thing we've had wrong with that is, and I don't know whether it's the infotainment system or if it's the Android Auto app, but he would get to some place and stop the car, turns the key off, because that his newer car actually has a key still, the push button, and the radio wouldn't shut off. So it's like he's freaking out, and I'm like, dude, calm down, I'll figure it out. So what I noticed when he got home was the touchscreen was still active. Like if you hit like the home button to take it out of Android Auto or CarPlay, you can still do stuff with it. But when you'd hit the, you know, you still couldn't get it turned off. So what I ended up doing was resetting the infotainment system, wiping it all the settings and stuff out of it, and then it was able to shut off. So I don't, you know, it goes back towards where I think GM is starting to hire people who used to work for Apple to help them fix their software. Because let me tell you, and GM's not the only one with the problem. Most automotive infotainment software is horrid. So, and then hopefully, enough people have bitched at them. GM did make a statement that in future EVs that they were going to not use a system that would work with Android Auto / CarPlay, that they were going to do some sort of Google Android Auto thing kind of thing. And not so much the Android Auto folks, but the people who want CarPlay on their car really bitched and moaned about it. You know, because they're iPhoners. So, but honestly though, I don't like that. I've used both. I actually did a little test with my iPhone 13, which is my work phone. In fact, probably whenever I'm on call, primary on call, I'm probably just gonna use CarPlay when I'm driving places, just because I can hit the buttons on my screen to acknowledge acknowledge an incident, so that way I can acknowledge it, and then as soon as I can pull over, I can take a look at it.
How often does that happen?
some weekends a lot, especially since, like, this past weekend, I went to a concert at a church, a free concert with Brian Duncan, who's a contemporary Christian artist, and we were, I would say, probably an hour out from the end of the concert, and I got a page, so we had to leave the concert and I had to go fix it, and it ended up, and the client decided, oh, we're going to do maintenance on our ADFS server and reboot it, or do what it, take it down. And of course, I took their applications down.
Wait, do you have your boss's phone number?
I do.
When you're at a place like that, just forward all your calls to your boss.
Oh, yeah. You really want me to get fired, right?
So let me get this right. You went out to a concert. Yeah, that's what I do. Yeah. You went out to a concert when you were on call.
Not my choice, my wife's choice. 90% of the cases, though, I get, I can resolve right from my phone, and I don't have to deal with anything because there's shitty synthetic tests that failed once. You know, like, you know, that for that test, it was 2 seconds slower, so the synthetic pops off, you know. But, or like what happened today, we had a client who lost their ADFS server, went down. You know, 9 times out of 10, I just create a case for those and lower the priority on them because I can't fix them. The client has to fix them. It becomes less of an issue, though, if you use, like, some of my clients use the Google as their IDP, and they get basically, they can literally take their data center down, and as long as that data is still cached in Google, it works. So, but in Azure's not quite as graceful, but it does work a little bit better than that. My biggest beef with Azure is that it seems like there's steps that Azure makes you do in the case of where you have to skip setting up like a second factor, because, you know, our tests right now, the way we're setting them up, they're not set up to count for like a second factor, okay? Which would be like an email or a phone number or something like that, where it would text, you know. So you have to bypass that, and Azure lets you do that. But occasionally, when you go through that process, it takes longer, and it's definitely different process than most of the users take. So that test will fail, and you can't. I mean, I have delays in some steps with my Azure clients of 30 to 45 seconds, which seems ridiculous, but that's the only way to make it not nag my team as much. But hopefully that stuff they are getting better. But the biggest ones, like, I had at least 2 clients that decided that, oh, we're going to do maintenance for the weekend, and not tell us so that we can mute the monitor so we don't get freaking paged.
So what did you have to do to fix them then?
Well, that's an interesting story, because I get back, I create the client-facing case and send it off to them. In less than 5 minutes after that was created, they were back up and running. So it's obvious they were doing something, and they weren't aware that they were affecting us. But by then, I think concert was over, so... 9 times out of it, what I usually do when I'm on call is, even if I'm going to the grocery store or something, I'll take my laptop, throw it in a bag, and take it with me. That's usually my insurance against actually getting a page where I actually need to use it. Generally, though, I don't like to go places when I'm on call because it's a pain in the ass. Especially in certain places where I live, the cell connection ain't very good on AT&T, and that's what my work phone is. So right now, if you have an Android 13 or device running Android 13, the last set of security updates hit it. And according to all reports, October 4th, which is their next Pixel announcement, they are going to be releasing Android 14. And I'm looking forward to that because they made some pretty neat changes to it. In the meantime, it sounds like Rich is driving a semi, or a semi is driving by Rich.
Driving the hell out of here, isn't he?
I don't know. It keeps going in and out, so I'm like, I don't know when you hear me and when you don't.
That's that uber reliable Bluetooth there, huh?
No. It's my cell phone. It drops. I can see all of you drop. Like, I'll hear the background noise, and then
for 20 seconds, got QoS enabled in Plumble. I don't know if you can disable it. You'd have to look at it afterwards, but one thing we discovered, that same thing was happening to us using straight up Mumble on our laptops, and we enabled or disabled QoS and enabled TCP connections only, I think it was.
Okay.
And I don't know if Plumble has that. I haven't used it in a while. I'll crack open a liquid death.
Beer.
It looks like one, don't it? Liquid death. I got the sparkling water variety of liquid death, and it's got
yeah, it looks a little bit like beer or an energy drink.
Yeah, it looks like a tall boy. It's severed lime is the lime one is the one I have. I also have the plain ones, and they're not bad either, the plain sparkling water. Of course, you gotta, like, taste the plain sparkling water. Which I don't mind. So. But, Sunday morning, if I end up beating whether I'm gonna actually go to bed Saturday night or not, my flight's at like 6:20 in the morning, which I'm like, why did I do that?
Cheapest one available?
Well, I wanted to have some time. See, there is a gathering at one of the manager's houses that I wanted to attend, and that's not till late in the afternoon, but I also wanted to go to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum Annex, the Udvar Hazy Center, which is out by Dulles Airport. And they have the Space Shuttle Discovery. I wanted to go see that and whatever else they have. So, but what I probably will do is grab the rental car. I might go to the hotel first and see if I can't get my room early. And if I can't, then I'll probably go across the street. There's a Wegmans across the street, and I can get some supplies.
Yeah.
Get me some liquid death, maybe a 12er of a Diet Dr. Pepper or something. When I'm at the office, I don't. Or the
good old IPA.
I don't drink, but yeah. You know, see, there. No, Monday night we're going to Fogo de Chao, I think. I want to say I thought it was Brazilian.
The hell is that? Oh my goodness!
Fogo de Chao. Wow, and that's they're going just all out systems when you come up tools, there, huh? Which technically my team is a part of that team. I have to look see here. I'm on their website. Oh, dude! It's
they're going all out for you.
The whole week.
But rolling out the meat skewers.
I'm taking two white elephant gifts because we're going to do a white elephant gift exchange. during lunch one of the days that week, but I'm also going to take one for the Christmas party, which I'll attend virtually.
Well, what are you getting, people?
No, Kroger's has this one shelf at the store with a whole bunch of stuff that's made right here in Ohio. And I think it's OH Pop. Let me see. I want to make sure. So it's a popcorn made in Wadsworth, okay. Ohio.
And that's how far from where you live?
Not too far. The store had it. Let me go grab the bag here. Hold on.
Dun, dun, dun. Oy, oy, oy. Anyway, while we're waiting for Joel to go on his little trek.
All right, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
It's Homegrown Popcorn is the name of it, the brand name. And it's I have bought two bags of Buckeye Blitz, which is peanut butter and chocolate.
Not to be confused with the Barroom Blitz.
Uh-huh. And then the third bag I got, and I'm probably going to put something 3D printed in the box too. Sweet Bourbon and Cheese Crunchers made by the same company. It is pretzels and...
So what happens if your gift goes to a recovering alcoholic?
Actually, I don't think they're recovering alcoholics on my team.
they're only full
pretzels.
Full on
pretzels and cheese.
Right?
It says pretzels and cheese with a sweet and spicy bourbon glaze. So I am assuming that the cheese is cheese pretzels because they look like little light. I may have to get another bag of this one to try it. I've had the other one. My Kroger actually started putting in a popcorn stand where they make popcorn right there in the store. And I've had some of that stuff. They had an Oreo cookie one that was pretty good, but I'm trying not to eat sugar as much, although like today and a little bit yesterday I failed a little bit. But not failed, I just kinda had a cheat day. Didn't go to the gym this morning either, but that's okay. I think I'm gonna go in the gym in the morning and then go get my ass kicked at Tabata at church. I'm telling you, the lady, there's a lady who started it. She's a girl. She's much younger than I am. Right. When we first started the group this year, she was kind of injured. I think she had some something going on in her knees, but I think she's fully healed now. Because let me tell you, she kicked our asses last week. Oh. Doing planks and wall jumps, which those suck. I hate wall jumps. And there's like a plank where you touch your shoulders, which I don't do it like a regular plank because my knees are shot. But okay. I have broke through a weight loss barrier. Let me fire up my app. My work gave me a smart scale. So there we go. 14 pounds lost in the last 30 days. So, and my visit with the kidney doctor went okay. He did add another pill that I take, which is going to work on the blood pressure. So with the three different blood pressure pills I'm on right now, which, I'm not going to lie, I don't want to be on them forever. But between those three, they are keeping my blood pressure in the normal range, which is a good thing. First time in a long time. Because what's going on here is... the whole reason I had to go see the kidney doctor is I was seeing excess protein being sloughed off into my urine. And that is from the little fibers and stuff in your kidney that do all the filtering. my kidneys still work, but you know, it's and it's very early because my level was like 300, which is just outside of normal. So my regular doctor was concerned about that, so he made me go to the kidney doctor. So, but Dr. Bitter was very nice, and all I had to do was get a cup and go talk to someone. Oh, and get weighed. But so I'm doing better with that. Tonight we kind of I try to not eat out as much. I last Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday I cooked at home. And we had tater tots a couple of those nights, and I only made one serving for myself.
Did you have to take the plastic off the kitchen?
No, I cook all the time in there, man. But these a single serving of tater tots. Now think about this when I say this. It's only 9 tots.
And yeah, serving sizes are a lot smaller than people think.
Exactly. But I did it twice, and I didn't really, my body didn't complain too much about it. my body being my stomach. So, like one of those nights we had fish. Yeah, I found that Sam's Club had these pieces of salmon that you can pan fry them, or you can put them in the oven to bake to cook. And I had one of those for lunch one day, and really actually 2 pieces is what I had. It's barbecue salmon is what it was. I guess you could put it on the grill too. I just didn't. Not enough time to go do that at lunchtime. So, but just little things like that. Just kind of watching portion control as much as I can. Last time when we went to the store, I did not buy 2 bags of corn chips and a bag of hot Cheetos, even though I wanted to. So just portion control is the thing I'm trying to do the mess. And for snacks, like I've got couple different kinds of meat snacks. Not the bestest salt content wise, but it's better than
meaty snacks.
It's better than chewy. Eating potato chips. That's all I got to say about it.
Oh, high protein.
Well, there you go.
And last night I tried I don't know if you've seen this out there, Dan, yet, but Coke's got a new flavor called Y3000.
I saw that in the store today, and I looked it up, and it said it was an orange vanilla. I don't know about orange
vanilla. To me, it tasted like cotton candy. I'm not going to buy it again, but and I had the zero sugar version. Well,
no, never
it was,
again.
It wasn't horrible. I'll say that. But technically, no.
Well, that's not a ringing
technically, endorsement. Technically, they used AI to help come up with the recipe, too. It's worth a shot.
I'll tell you what, I've not the last 2 that they came Starlight, out with. Was it the
Starlight
or 3? What the Starlight, the Rosé.
There was the marshmallow one.
And then the Max or whatever.
Yeah, the marshmallow. The
marshmallow one.
No, it was it the white one?
The gold and black case.
Marshmallows limited edition. Maybe I might still be
just a...
I did try Starry, which is the replacement for Sierra Mist, and I don't like it.
Oh, yeah, I did have, because you can only get this at Little Caesars, apparently. But
the pineapple Pepsi?
The pineapple Pepsi, yes, I tried that. It wasn't bad. It was good. It was actually pretty good.
I was going to say, that sounds good to me. No, see, marshmallows limited because of sugar. Apparently, yeah, it's still for sale. You can buy it via the Coca-Cola website.
What's it called?
I'll send a link.
Oh, marshmallows limited edition?
Yeah. Marshmallow is that guy that wears the thing that looks like a marshmallow with eyes. I think he's a rapper. It says strawberry and watermelon. Oh, okay. No thanks.
All right, wait, hold on. Where's the? Oh my God! Everything, damn cookies anymore.
Right.
Oh wait, what is the? What was the other one?
I'll go put the link in the mobile chat. Oh, let me look at the other one. Coca-Cola Creation.
Oh, so I've tried the Ultimate and there's some on here that aren't listed. Yeah, the Ultimate. You know, I'm like, they've really. I don't know. Maybe no more. Maybe we don't need this anymore. They're all like vanilla slash, like
something.
Wait, who did like the peach orange. One?
Peach one.
Was that Pepsi?
It might have been.
Oh wait,
no.
Pepsi
are you
was
thinking
mango.
Peach or not mango? Right.
Pepsi that did one was a mango. Good. There was a. I forget who did a peach one. Was there a Coke?
I don't remember a peach one, but I do remember the mango one.
Yeah, the mango one was good. Oh. And the one thing I do like about it, at least with some of these weirder flavors, is they're bringing out a zero sugar or diet version of it.
Right.
No, not that you should be drinking that.
Doesn't Diet Coke have a... What are those? There's four flavors, or do they not have them anymore?
They may not.
Wait, I could have. Oh, wait, these things.
There's Coca-Cola cherry, Coca-Cola vanilla, zero sugar, Coca-Cola vanilla.
Yeah, the Diet Coke, the Diet Coke lime, the is it mango? And
oh, the lime one, yeah. They had an orange one earlier, too.
Black cherry.
Okay,
Feisty
yeah.
cherry, zesty blood orange, twisted mango, and ginger lime. I remember seeing that. I don't think I've ever tried any of them.
Yeah.
I try not to drink too much soda. Yeah. Although I love soda.
Me too. I want to get...
The death of me.
Do you see the Ninja folks? The guy, the company that made the Ninja Foodie and all that brought out the... A beverage machine similar to the SodaStream?
I may have.
Yeah, except
like
it goes into
the Ninja stuff
a
looks
glass.
Pretty cool, but it's damn is it expensive.
Have you seen the Ninja Creamy?
Yes, I
what?
Have actually. That's the ice cream maker.
It's an ice cream maker, yeah, but it's like $200.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The Ninja Thirsty, that's the name of it.
You can go down to it's Aldi also... or Little and get the same thing from Ernesto, and it only works like 60% of the way it should.
I'd love to get a Ninja Creamy, it's just I'm not going to pay that much for it. So
same. Yeah, the Ninja Thirsty system is $179. That's
holy
yeah,
moly!
And that's with one cylinder and. Eight different flavors. The if you go with the CO2 bundle that includes three carbonation cylinders, and then well, the same amount of flavor drops for $219, which I'm like, I want to try it, but I don't know if I want to spend that much money for something that I know that I'm gonna. It's going to piss me off because I got to get the CO2. I have to double check with my old boss. He had the SodaStream, but they have an adapter that you can install on your SodaStream where you can take the same, like if you have a CO2, like a say a 10-pound CO2 cylinder for filling up a the CO2 cartridges on paintball. That's what he gets. And that lasts a whole lot longer than the 60 liter cylinder. and it's refillable. So a little bit less waste, but I don't like the one flavor I used to like over there was their version of Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pete. They had a diet version of it. Well, somewhere along the lines, they changed the formulation, and it tastes almost like they sweetened it with maple syrup. It was just blah. It was not good. So, but I'm seeing my fridge now. I got, I'm almost through my Liquid Death. I've been drinking it more than I have been the Diet Dr. Pepper. I got cherry, and I've got the regular Diet Dr. Pepper and the zero sugar Dr. Pepper strawberry.
Yeah, the Liquid Death is pretty addictive. I mean,
it is. And it's expensive, too.
Yeah, but that is the problem. It does cost more.
Let me see.
Amazon, it's like $16 for a 12-pack. I think it's like $13 at Walmart for a 12-pack.
All right, let's see. These are 8-packs of the Tall Boys that I've been buying. Kroger wants almost $15.
Pack.
And I'm trying to think where I saw it. I saw it one place.
Walmart sells it cheaper than that.
Yeah, as I say, Walmart might have it. Meijer does have it too. I finally found it. I also want to try the teas. I haven't tried the tea yet.
These are good. So, do you have a Five and Below near you? I know they used to carry
it. I do. Them. Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah. And it was like $1.25 or something each.
Well, my thing is, the flavors I haven't tried, I don't want to buy a whole 8-pack. I want to buy like one to try it.
Well,
I don't think I'd like melon, though.
No, the melon, the Bury It Alive is actually really good.
Okay.
I like it. And the mango, I like the mango.
Mango Chainsaw is pretty great. Yeah, it's pretty great. My favorite's the lime one, though.
Now, I'm looking on Amazon, and a 12-pack of the Bury It Alive costs $20.
Wow.
12-pack of the Just Sparkling, the no flavor, is $17.
Yeah, but it's a little crazy.
I see an 8-pack of the plain, like not sparkling, for $11.62.
Oh, the water, right. Which is how they all started out as. They just wanted to... They brought it out in a cool can with the skull on it so that people would drink more water and use less plastic.
Yeah. Ooh, here's an 18-pack for $25.49.
Ooh, Amazon?
Yeah. But that's the sparkling the mountain water. The shipping on that is free. Free delivery.
Makes me wonder if they get it from Whole Foods. I bet you that's probably where it comes from.
Yeah, the prices on Amazon just aren't that great.
No, they're about what I pay at Kroger when I get them there.
And Kroger prices kind of suck. I'd rather go to Five and Below and or, you know, if I maybe Walmart. I don't remember seeing it at Sam's. But we do
the only one they had at Sam's was the water. And when they first came out with it, I said, what the hell is this? And I picked up the can, or the took a look at the packaging, and I'm like, water? I'm like, yeah, I don't want to pay $16 for water. However, the spring ones are quite tasty. So I will pay for those.
No, I really do love the Mango Chainsaw, and I think even our 7-Eleven up the street is carrying them now, but they're a little bit more expensive there. They're 2 inches of change or something like that.
See, they got a combo pack, Lime and Mango, on Amazon for $24. It's 16 cans. Yeah. Which that would be a good combo.
Actually, if you go into it, they got a whole bunch of different ones. So they got the lime and berry, the lime and mango, the lime and melon, mango and berry, mango and melon, melon and berry, sparkling lime, still in lime, still in sparkling. So you can get different combos here. And the melon and berry, okay, no, the lime and mango is the cheapest.
Now, I want to try other than the still teas. I want to try the armless palmer.
The teas are really good. Jackie likes the teas, too.
See, I don't know if I'd like the peach one. Grim Leafer looks like just straight up tea, which that would be fine. But I want to have to try those. I might have to go over to Sheetz, and I'm sure Sheetz has them. Sheetz
armless
has almost
palmer,
everything.
Grim Leafer, and Rest in Peach.
Yeah. But at least it's something a little healthier than drinking the aspartame-laden diet pops. So, but I had like someone on Facebook says, "Well, you shouldn't be drinking diet pop," and I'm like, "It's better than me drinking full sugar pop." That's where I left the discussion. I'm like,
"Yeah, well." Okay, there have been some recent studies in regards to like the artificial sugars that say that if you have enough of them, it can give you cancer. The ratios are absolutely insane. You would need to
you'd have to drink like 55 gallons
a day.
I was going to say you'd have to probably drink like 55 gallons of it a day, and there's no way you're going to do that.
Yeah.
And
so
do that
is it better to, you know, morbid obesity also is a very common cause of, you know, death. That's why it's called morbid.
That's right.
So, switching over is more likely to save your life than it is kill you.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember when I first switched over to drink and diet, I was a cashier at Meijer here, and I had a horrible habit where I would go and I'd get a drink, which was a refillable drink, and a donut at every break time, and then something at lunch.
Damn.
Right? Yeah. So, and then I would refill that cup at least twice, and I would drink the regular Dr. Pepper, and let me try the diet and see how that is, and like, well, it tastes almost like the regular, so I can deal with that.
Yeah, and you don't.
When I did that, the week I did that, I lost 16 pounds.
Yeah, you don't really like think about it when you're drinking regular soda, and then one day, you know, you start adding up all the calories, and it's like, wow, I drink a lot of calories.
Well, it's the same thing, like, if you go to Starbucks and you get a Frappuccino, I very rarely will get one of those.
Yeah, it's been like, a couple of years.
I mean, they're delicious, don't get me wrong.
I love a good venti caramel Frappuccino with a couple of extra shots of espresso. But, yeah, the calories.
It's like 500 calories in one cup in a venti.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, so it's like, no, because when I can get a Trenta cold brew and only have 300 calories, you know, that's doing
a lot.
Pretty decent. It is, but it's better than the alternative. So, and depending on the day, I'll grab a breakfast sandwich when I do that, which the Gouda one with the egg and bacon on it, that's only 300 calories, so it's not horrible. You know, are there better things I can eat? Yes, but at least, you know, I'm more cognizant of my choices. And it's working, so I can't complain.
Yeah, as long as your number's coming down.
Yep, everything's coming down. My blood sugar this week has been better controlled than it was previous weeks. My blood pressure itself with the three different pills I'm on is normal.
Well, if you can get your weight under control, maybe you can get off of them.
I have not weighed this little in a long time, since before the apartment.
Is your problem, like, specific food cravings, or is it, like, just volume of food that you eat?
More the volume, I think, you know, then like,
You should definitely try volume eating.
Right. Saturdays, we usually get a pizza either at the end of the game or during the game when it's in the fall.
Well,
and I have ordered last week I only ordered a 10-inch pizza and me and Luke split it. Well, so, I mean,
you also got to think about what's on and in the pizza.
Correct.
Crust is a lot of calories. So if you get like a thin crust Hawaiian, that comes out to like 2,100 calories from Little Caesars. But even if you eat one of those by yourself, if you haven't eaten much during the day, that's still not that far off a track.
As I say, I usually don't eat that much on Saturdays. I'll have my coffee in the morning and my might snack.
But
if
you're spitting it, you know, then you're only getting like 1,000 calories, and that's better than most of your other pizzas. So it's a lot of times just about making the choices, and you can always, you know, make your own. Are several recipes out there that are much lower calorie, and if you use like fat-free cheese and a little bit of Parmesan, it actually, you know, pretty much tastes good.
I have a microwave popper, the one for popcorn. The one I have right now is the Presto Pop one, where you have to have the little discs to help pop it. I want to see if I can find one that doesn't require those.
Well,
I mean, they're not expensive, but it's like I'd rather not have an excuse, because I bought a bottle of the Orville Redenbacher, just the kernels. I guess you could throw it in a paper bag if you wanted to, too.
Yeah, popcorn is still iffy. Do you like stir-frying?
I do, but my problem is the family doesn't too much.
Well, I eventually had to start, you know, cooking my own meals for myself, and either I will sometimes cook for them separately and then cook mine, or... Jackie will cook all of theirs, and I'll cook mine.
Right.
But, I mean, it was something that I had to do in order to start dropping my weight. But,
the truth is, though, is I need all of us to eat better. So, when I
made them stir fries, and hey, look, you get to decide the flavor of the stir fry. I have a recipe somewhere for a pizza flavored stir fry that I absolutely love.
Yep. Yep, I'm gonna start doing that. Like one thing I did when I made when we did the fish the other night with the tater tots for all three of us, I only made 9 tots each, so I only put 27 tots on the pan when I cooked them. So
I would be like my son. Meal. Oh my god!
My son grumbled, but. Oh, it tasted good. I mean, we had tartar sauce.
Yeah, if I'm going to eat tater tots, I'm going to eat like 6 servings.
Trust me. I know I can. That's my problem.
Yeah, but I moved away from tater tots, and I went to the mix of hash browns that you can get. And
they do have like broccoli tots I've seen before, too.
Yeah, but, you know, broccoli tots aren't really cutting back on the calories. That's what's
no, they're not. Out.
It is upping the amount of fiber, but
right. But everything's heading in the right direction, so I must be doing something right at this point. So I'm measuring it every day. So weight, my blood pressure, and my glucose. So because I have this huge fear. I don't want to become like our good friend Link and have to give myself dialysis every night.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you might not want to switch to a high very high protein diet right away if you're having a bit of kidney problems. I know you're at the early stages of it and hoping to get it under control.
Very, very early.
But yeah, it's high it's protein not, might not be the best. High fiber for now.
It's just a tick, you know, out of it. You know, so and if I keep the blood pressure under control, that will help that. And the salt too. So like I forgot to grab it, but Mrs. Dash makes a chipotle flavor, and I've taken that like 2 or 3 tablespoons of that or more, and dumped that in with some brown ground beef, and it tastes pretty much like a taco without the salt.
Well, you know, I make all of mine with Well, I was using ground turkey.
Yeah.
My tacos, my burritos, I was using low-fat ground turkey. I had to switch to ground chicken because just the price is half as much and the calories are about the same.
Ground chicken, too, can be weird. You can get the ground chicken that's based on the dark meat or the one that's based on the breast.
Yeah, you got to watch the calorie mix there as well.
Right. But and then for lunch I'm usually like I found the Life Cuisine stuff pretty decent. They have quite a few low carb ones.
I'd still rather make my own stuff. Low carb doesn't mean low calorie.
True. But when that's all I eat, you know, I don't eat like a bowl of corn chips with that.
Well, and another thing you got to remember is that going to a low carb diet is the high protein diet we were just talking about not being good for you.
Right.
Because it's hard on kidneys that have been damaged.
I asked, you know, basically I talked with him about some of that kind of stuff. He wasn't too concerned about me being higher protein in my meal because he knows that's one of the things I can eat that doesn't make my blood sugar go bonkers. So, not that, I mean, my blood sugar hasn't been like completely out of whack, you know, it is higher than it should be in the morning sometimes, but it's, I'll put it this way. I know people like my wife whose blood sugar was way higher than mine was. So, and pretty regular basis too.
Oh, completely get rid of, you know, added sugar. If it has added sugar, it's not for you.
Yeah.
We got to wrap this
yes,
up.
Yes, we
there,
do.
Sugar boys.
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, here we go. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you in a week. Here mm-hmm. are your promos.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yep. All right, there we go. Stop the backup here. Should probably stop the backup over here. Delicious snacks all around. For you, Joel.
What are you snagging on?
Nothing. It's just making making noise with my mouth hole.
Now, for my Christmas one, the one I'll be at on my Zoom, I got to figure out what I'm going to do yet. I think what I'm going to do is I want to see if I can't find some Ohio-made candy and stick it in there, something that might last until December. Because I want to give it to my boss so that she can just put it on the table when we do that. In fact, I got to get my gift I did on that last year, too. Because I was just joined the team back then.
Yeah.
So, and we get to take our picture with the CEO. Not that I care. I don't know. I mean, she's kind of good looking, you know. And was very smart matters, lady. Right? Not really. She's taken.
She's smart?
Yeah, I think she is. Oh, she came from Oracle. So
yeah,
I give that Y3000 a try. You might like it. It's worth trying one bottle.
See, that's the thing. I was only picking up a few things and I noticed it and I was like, do I there were mini cans and I'm like, do I want to get like a 12 pack of mini cans?
No, or find a 20-ounce bottle. That's what I would do.
I didn't know if I want to commit to that yet.
Right, I'm with you on that.
Maybe somebody in the house would drink it. I don't know. All right, I'm gonna stop the recording. You didn't switch to OBS? Oh shit! I don't have OBS set up. I should probably see about getting that installed. Wait. Didn't I? What would that be under? Oh, yeah, I did install that. That's right. No, I'm not using apt.
I'm rude again.
Who's rude again?
Joel.
Was his microphone not working or something? Or did he torpedo?
I don't know. I didn't even see him go into audio test. I just seen him, like, log in and log out on root. Having connection issues.
Ay. Give him another minute. You don't have time to wait for him. Wait, what's that? Let's get rid of that. That would be internet. Let's see. Oh, downloading updates, 3 of 5. I'll be back up in Discord in just a minute. In case it all goes to hell. Oh, I should have just logged in with the QR code. Ay, ay, ay. All right, let's move that to there. Why is this over here? That should be there. This is over here. We're all good. We're ready to move on. Start show 119. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
Fun.
All right. Let's see here. What's today?
Wednesday.
All right. Oh, shit. Okay. Not that day. I meant the date.
20th.
20th, and it's the 38th week of the year. What's he doing just hanging out in the room?
Like I said, it looks like he's having connectivity issues.
What was I gonna play? Oh, yeah. Let's get a, and finally, there we go. Now we're ready to start. No matter what Murph says, we're ready to start. We might have to replace Joel with Murph. Apparently somebody could get their shit working.
He said he's tired and he didn't want to join us.
Oh, some bitch. There he is.
Getting headsets to work was a pain in the ass tonight, but...
Well, let's hope it doesn't continue like that for you. Because everybody needs your valued opinion.
I just know not to touch the touchscreen.
But yeah, there you go.
That's what was happening last week. Whenever I touched the touchscreen, it would crash.
All right. I'm going to play us our intro, and we'll move on from there. Here we go. Everybody ready?